Over the last 10 years, surveys have found that Americans have become more and more intrigued with religion. It seems that as science and technology uncovers and explains more about the known world, we're becoming more fascinated by the unknown. One of those intriguing subjects is life after death. A recent Gallup poll found that 81% of Americans believe in heaven. But should we? Is it possible to know the truth about the mystery of life beyond the grave? Stay tuned as we look beyond today and discuss Better Than Heaven.
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Have you taken the time to think deeply about what really happens at death? When good people die, do they go directly to heaven? Most people believe it, but is it true? That's our focus today, the subject of heaven. My guests today are both pastors and writers and commentators, Howard Davis and Don Henson. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Boy, what a big subject we're going to tackle today. It seems that almost in every culture that you look at, they hold some type of belief in the afterlife. And it begs the question, is there some kind of a need that we as human beings, you know, innately have that would cause us to believe in an afterlife? Do we need to believe in an afterlife?
It certainly would seem to be that way, Steve. I mean, when you look at all the religions across the board, virtually everyone teaches some form of a belief in an afterlife. It seems as if there's something within us that wants to continue to live, that needs to continue to have that hope of continuing to live. And it also seems as if we kind of naturally expect that there's got to be something better, something beyond what we're experiencing now.
Seems that way when life seems so short, doesn't it?
Well, sure. You have children, and one of the earliest childhood experiences often is someone you love, like grandma, grandpa, great-grandpa, dying. And so early on, in order to resolve this need to have the emotional trauma smoothed out in a meaning, usually the child is taught in most cultures that isn't the end of grandma or grandpa or whatever, or whoever that you love. It's just they're going to heaven, and they're going to look down on you, and they'll be there all the time, and they're with God. So this is taught very early, and it's because there's an emotional need that it satisfies. We look back in civilizations, and as Don was saying, not only do we have religions, but we also have the way in which eternity was somewhat manipulated politically, because if you were a ruler, you'd get people...
So give me an example of a culture that did that.
Well, 3,000-4,000 years ago, every time the next pyramid to be built, like at Giza.
We're talking about the pharaohs in Egypt.
At the pharaohs in Egypt, the hundreds of thousands or perhaps tens of thousands of slaves were promised that they would have an afterlife to follow across the river of death with the pharaoh if you were good and you served him and you lived with those low wages for a long time. You would have afterlife with the pharaoh. So this was also, this need was politically for thousands of years manipulated.
So we have an emotional need. We've seen there's political needs in cultures as well. But it sure seems that you begin to talk about death, and it's such an emotional subject. It's a sensitive subject. I mean, how do you think it became such a difficult subject to begin to deal with?
Well, obviously, you have very, very sensitive feelings when somebody dies. So you've got probably the most tragic feeling, the greatest loss that you can have, someone that you love outside of yourself, is dying. Of course, and if you're going to die, that's a trauma. So you have the most basic life force involved, that is self-preservation or the preservation of someone else. That is the central core. And then, of course, you've got then the clash of whatever religion and value you've bought into. And if you find, like we know from the Bible, that there's something fundamentally wrong with the object of going to heaven, where Jesus promised eternal life in a different way, then that becomes controversial.
What's going to happen?
You know, Howard, your comment earlier about how children are sometimes comforted at the loss of a grandparent or someone reminds me of an occasion recently where a woman came to me and asked me if, when people die, do they go to heaven and become an angel? That's a very common belief. People think of their loved ones and their friends as passing on and becoming an angel when they go to heaven. Well, I took the time to explain to her that angels are a part of God's creation. and that he created them to serve him and that he could use them to serve us, but that people upon death do not become angels. They're a special part of his creation. In fact, when people die, they are in their graves, they're unconscious, they're no longer awake at that time, and they're awaiting a time of a resurrection. And at that resurrection, they will be given a life that's much greater, far beyond anything that angels can experience. When I explained this to her, I expected her to be encouraged and to react to it in a positive way, but she was devastated. She was crushed at that answer. Because when she was about 8 years old, her father had died. And she had been told that he had now was an angel looking down over her, and she all of her life had felt that he was with her, watching her, caring for her. She could even talk to him, and that she felt that she had that connection to him in that way. And that's really too bad that people have that kind of a false image or hope, because what God really has in store for us is so much better than that kind of an experience when we understand what he really promises. But it is very delicate. It's right. Difficult to let go of that.
Now, that's not without feelings. That's strong feelings.
Absolutely.
Involved in what's
yes.
really true.
Yes.
But when you bring up something like you did in that example, that can be very controversial. Now, how do we deal with that? Why does that question seem to be a controversial one?
Well, you consider in recent events that these Islamist fundamentalists that kill themselves are promised, these young men in Jordan or in the West Bank or in Iraq, are promised that they, if they blow themselves up, will have 72 virgins in heaven right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can laugh at that, but when the young men smashed into the Twin Towers in New York, that was very vivid in their mind. It's very controversial to question.
Especially when you talk, 51% believe in heaven.
Well,
we're talking about lots of different heavens and different concepts here.
Yeah, and frankly, I teach my children not to believe in ghosts. It turns out the majority of Americans now, because of the conditioning of Halloween or the popular culture, when you have an immortal soul, it's got to go somewhere. So they're hanging around the property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
sort of like the angels Don was talking about.
So actually, then whenever you start talking about that, there is absolutely no science on, because nobody's ever been there.
You're not going to be able to prove it, in other words.
You can't prove it. And then you get all these religious and personal issues involved, and you're bound to have a controversy.
Why would we look anywhere else? If you can't prove it, well, why look to the Bible?
Well, why would you look to the Bible for authority on any subject? It's the Bible is the foundation. It's the premise upon which our beliefs in Christianity are built. The Bible is the only source that you can look to find out what happens after death and what God really has promised, what he has in mind, what he wants to give to mankind.
The central issue of the Bible from a Christian standpoint is the life of Jesus Christ relevant? And Jesus himself said that his proof of messiahship, or whether or not he is the Son of God, was what would happen to him after 3 days and three nights after he was killed. He said the single sign would be whether or not I came alive again. And frankly, that is the model, his death and then coming alive again, that 500 people saw, is the only model of anyone who ever came back. And for that reason, since you can't prove this in science, okay, you can't see in a test tube, there's no one else, you have to look at that example. And that becomes central to whether or not the Bible is true.
That's a great thought. We're going to come back to that.
Okay.
In fact, we're going to talk about how you can look at that standard of truth, the Bible, and get into it and look at even things like near-death experiences. Stay with us.
Is there really a heaven or a hell? Most religions today teach ancient ideas, but how do you know if they're true? Most do not teach what Jesus said in the Bible, even in Christianity today. Call 1-888-886-TODAY. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online at beyondtoday.tv to find out, would a loving God torture forever? What did Jesus say about heaven and hell? See that he never taught that you have an immortal soul? No human will burn forever. Understand how religion threatened even babies with eternal torture. Most important, at death, what really happens to you? Understand that Christ's resurrection means that you'll be resurrected too. You have a future you don't even know about until you call 1-888-886-TODAY. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online at beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach?
Welcome back. Our program today is Better Than Heaven. Now, we can't cover the whole subject, so you need this booklet. We hope you'll call in or see our website at beyondtoday.tv. Now, we've been talking about death, been talking about heaven. Now, some people would argue that people have these near-death experiences, and they experience, you know, the bright light at the end of the tunnel, these good feelings, these wonderful things. That's got to be a proof that there is a heaven as soon as you die, right?
Well, there are websites that talk about going to heaven, so to speak, at the end of the tunnel, in a near-death experience, and come back and talk about it. And then also it turns out, going to hell. So you get a variety of things on the web today. But actually, when the brain is deprived of oxygen, it begins to do strange things. And it turns out that nobody, of course, has ever died for an hour, completely brain dead, body dead, and come back, or where they couldn't be resuscitated.
So we're talking about a momentary thing.
Well, it could be a few moments. But as the brain loses oxygen, if there's a cardiac arrest, or there is some quick exposure to a change in the way the brain operates, there can be this sense of going down a tunnel, and there's a kind of commonality usually, but usually you do get some kind of an assault, a change of state of consciousness, and then you get an element of even vivid dreams. You know, if you've had a very vivid dream, you'll wake up and, man, that thing, it was just like real. People have conversations
almost like
about
reality,
that.
Then.
And then you also, some interpretation can be that it was so vivid, and it does parallel what a lot of popular ideas are, that it is almost wish fulfillment.
All of these experiences that people relate, where they feel that they've nearly died and then come back, and they've had all these hallucinations, or they've seen these things. The experience, or their description of the experience, is based on a false premise. And that premise is that we have within us, or that we actually are, an immortal soul living inside of a body. And they believe that this experience then is the soul trying to leave the body, but then somehow, for some reason, being pulled back into the body. And so you have that experience. But when you understand and accept what the Bible actually says happens at death, then you recognize that that's not what is happening, and there's a different explanation, a true explanation for what happens in those experiences.
So people may really, truly be experiencing something like that, but that's not a reality of anything. It doesn't prove anything. It doesn't mean it's true. It doesn't mean they're going to heaven.
Right.
But at the same time, you touched on this issue that, you know, the soul separates from the body. Now, where in the world did that come from? Where did that concept, that belief that the soul departs at death and of course, most people believe goes to heaven? Where did that come from?
Well, that's another of these common threads that runs through so many of the world's religions, and that is that the belief that we are or we have an immortal soul. It does not come from the Bible. That's the first point to be made. That teaching is not part of Scripture. Except
now that's kind of shocking. So it's not a godly thing.
It does not come of God. You're right. Exactly. Scripture does show us where it does come from. Way back at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and He told them that in the day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. Well, the very first lie that the serpent or that the devil told to Eve to deceive her was to say, "You will not surely die." And so he immediately injected this doubt or this thought or this question of what really happens at death.
So it's not a story. It's not a metaphor.
No.
There's a real lesson there,
absolutely,
isn't there?
But at the beginning of that account in the Bible, when man was created, he's created in the image of a God that is eternal. He's created in the image of a God who is invisible, who is spirit. And so there is a promise of living forever with God at the very beginning of the story. And that runs all the way through the Bible. And then it runs through all these different cultures. What was different is that the Bible said in that beginning statement that you are dust, you're dirt. Adam, the name, actually means red dirt. You are dust, and to dust you will go if you botch up. But and the whole story of the Bible is how then to overcome the death, the first death, as it's described, and then live forever. And that is the whole biblical account. Now, the promise is spectacular that the human life is supposed to believe.
So the reality then, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a future. We can look forward to eternity, and so that concept is the good thing, and it is a right thing.
But every civilization going back way before Jesus, 2,000, we're talking 3,000-4,000 years ago, where we have records, does have a parallel universe of gods that are spirit and then human beings. And there's this connection between the two. And that the religions that evolved or developed, and they were usually with a political king or some kind of a ruler and a priest kind of supporting this idea, is that if you do right according to that society and that state and what the religion tells you, your immortal soul will live on in a better state with the gods.
Okay, now that's an interesting point.
And then that comes through into our modern sense of the immortal soul.
So when you get down to it then, what about that? Do we really have a soul? We look back to the Garden of Eden, saw a clear example that was a true thing. What about it? Do we have a soul?
It's not that we have a soul, but again, we're told in the creation account that we are a living soul. God breathed life into Adam and he became a living being.
So there's a distinct difference there. Huh?
Exactly. We are souls. We are living beings. It does not say that we were given or that we are an immortal soul. In fact, the Bible also clearly shows that the soul can die. There's a scripture in the book of Ezekiel which says that the soul that sins will die. The same Hebrew word is used in both the Genesis account and in the book of Ezekiel. The living being that sins can die, as Howard was referring to a moment ago.
So you don't have one, you are one.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it turns out that this soul, this term in Hebrew, nephesh, is the same thing used for animals. So that when an animal dies, a person dies, it's the same process, and they're both referred to as this nephesh flesh. You die, it dies, and there's no consciousness. You're just like Rover, you're dead all over, is this sense that's there. And this is very well known in modern scholarship, that the original concept that's in both the New Testament and the Old Testament is that when man died, he went to sleep. He was unconscious. So, you see, we do have a conflict. You were talking about the first thing. We get into religion of what actually was in the text and is in the text and what Jesus taught and what they believe. And you get into controversy among the theologians or the Bible.
Let's hold that thought there for just a minute, because that can be discouraging to some people. They don't understand what the truth of the Bible is. So when we come back, we'll see the encouraging true promise of the Bible. And you know, that's better than heaven.
A heaven or a hell? Find out, would a loving God torture forever? What did Jesus say about heaven and hell? No human will burn forever. At death, what really happens to you? You have a future you don't even know about until you call 1-888-886-TODAY. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online at beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Heaven and Hell. What does the Bible really teach? Explaining the meaning of human genetics is just another way that Good News Magazine informs, with understanding you can't get anywhere else. Not only is human DNA toppling evolution, it shows the brilliant design of the mind behind the universe. Another issue features the latest biblical research showing Jesus taught heaven is coming to the earth. Another analyzes when the dreams of peace will come to pass. Go online or call for your free subscription. It's 1-888-886-8632.
Don't forget our website, beyondtoday.tv. You'll get so much information there that you can find the things that you need to know. So go there when you have an opportunity. Now, in today's program, we've seen that the plain truth of the Bible teaches that even good people do not go directly to heaven when they die. Only Jesus Christ has ascended to God's throne. Now, of course, that leads questions. What about eternal life? You know, we've heard these things. People understand those things. Religious people have some kind of a sense about eternal life and the promises of the Bible. What about it? How does that fit in with the reality of what it teaches?
Well, as we've implied, or we've actually said, a person does go to sleep. And that is the way Apostle Paul talked about. Jesus himself said, when a person dies, he sleeps. Lazarus, the one that he resurrected, he said he's sleeping. So it wasn't a matter that he was going to bring him back down to heaven. In fact, Jesus said, no man, this is during his ministry, no man, including Abraham and all these righteous men before, has ascended into heaven. What it means is that eternal life is another state of being. Man was created in the image of God, and we are supposed to take on the form of what Jesus became. That is the promise. And anyone who gets into the Bible actually knows that that was the original concept, that man is going to enter a different realm or state of being that is called the realm of God, of divine. And that the whole purpose of life is then to wait for Christ, person goes to sleep, and that everybody, whoever lived, whether they knew him or not, actually is going to come alive again and know this with an opportunity, and that heaven is coming here.
So it's a timing thing. I mean, that would be surprising. Do people realize that Christ said no one has ascended?
Yeah.
I mean, that's remarkable.
Well, not only did Christ say that, as recorded in the Gospel of John, Peter, in his sermon immediately after Christ died on the day of Pentecost, repeated a similar concept. He said that David's tomb was with them, and David was dead and buried, and he emphasized again that only Christ had been resurrected and had ascended to the throne. But I also want to emphasize here, Steve, that when we talk about the fact that when people die, they do not go directly to heaven, we don't mean to take away from the hope and the anticipation of God granting eternal life. It's a matter of understanding how and when he's going to do that. Eternal life is God's plan. It says in the book of Titus, speaking of eternal life, it says that God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life from before the beginning. The golden scripture of Christianity, John 3, verse 16, which promises us that if we believe on Jesus Christ, we can receive everlasting life rather than perish. Mm-hmm. So eternal life is what God is all about, and that's what he wants to give to us.
So we're talking about a timing issue.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. the means by which it happens,
yes.
That's the difference.
It's actually bigger than that, much bigger than just that process or mm-hmm. the timing. It's virtually everything is there because the goal itself. So many people have said, well, what does grandma do up there? Or what does anybody do when they go to heaven? Actually, at the end of the Bible, heaven does come here. Jesus did say that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth.
Right,
and it comes here. And that actually the Father comes here. And people who read the Bible know that that's in there. It's usually made a metaphor. Oh, no, that's not really. But actually, this was all, scholars know, Nate, what they actually believe.
It makes a lot more sense that way.
That's
right. I mean, looking at it, honestly, realistically, look how it makes more sense. Because if we're waiting in the grave, we don't know anything, then it makes sense. Because grandma is not floating around up in heaven looking down on us and seeing all our difficulties. And what kind of paradise would that be?
Well, you think about people who love others, and if they did go immediately to heaven and they're looking at this hell on earth, I mean, really, we have people dying everywhere. Is that really a pleasant thing
for wars and
just
and
the suffering
murder
that people get into? And actually, God is very real. He wants people to be at peace. And this truth is a comfort. It actually says comfort, the Apostle Paul did. Comfort one another. I think, Don, you've done a lot of study about what Paul's teaching on this is. Comfort one another because they're asleep until this fabulous opportunity.
So it's not a morbid kind of a thing, is it?
No, it's about life. It's not about death.
Not about death at all. And so when you look at that fact, how could we begin to help people to see how that is better than their everyday concept of what heaven might be?
Well, I'll give you a personal example. About 15 years ago, my stepmother, who now is almost 88 and very frail, she came out where I live in Portland, Oregon, and saw these spectacular mountains. For Minnesota people, they go to the mountains and they go, wow, what is it? She said, you know, who'd want to have heaven if you could have this? It's so spectacular and beautiful. I've traveled all over the world, and there's some fabulously beautiful places, Oregon being one of them. And when you think about this earth, a lot of people are not real interested in getting out of nice parts of the earth to go to heaven. And it's because, frankly, God created this to be such a spectacular example of another realm of existence that is going to be so great. The Bible is full of the description of that divine realm and what it's going to be like when it comes here. It's called the kingdom of God.
Well, I think what you asked, what makes God's promise is better than heaven.
Exactly.
I think, Steve, one of the things, too, is that heaven is so vague. heaven basically is whatever people want it to be. It's whatever you didn't have in this life, you'll have then. And it's just everyone has a different idea. What the Bible does, of course, is to make God's promises tangible, real, and much more specific. Well, there's much about that eternal life that we do not know, but that there's much more about it that we do know as well. He's promised, as Howard said, that his new heavens and earth will come down to us. We will reign on this earth with Jesus Christ. And that we will receive a crown of glory, and we will be given some specific duties and responsibilities within that realm, within that kingdom. It's much more of a real goal than it would be just to be someplace where it's nice.
Not just staring at the face of God for eternity. Yes. There's things to do. There's, you know, places to go, you know, things to accomplish. There's a plan that God has in mind. In fact, in just the few moments that we have, you know, as people begin to realize, you know, what I've believed about heaven just isn't true. It doesn't match with the standard that God gives us. What do we do about it?
Well, the entire conversion process, Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And when he died and he came alive, he said, this is the single thing that I will prove my messiahship. And you're to follow me into the kingdom of God. His ministry was all about entering this other realm, eternal life, for everybody. And we're talking about people who don't know about it. It's such a great thing. And he said this is a pearl of great price. So mm-hmm. you begin to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the original sense. You get into that Bible, and then you say, what do I have to give up? Because he said, if you want this,
you got to
give up everything. This is the pearl of great mm-hmm. price.
I think I can put it in a real nutshell, Steve. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, we know that the gospel message of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom of God. That's what he came to teach us. That's what he came to reveal and to show us how we can become part of. And what he says in Matthew chapter 6 is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that is what we need to do, is to make our understanding of that kingdom our goal, and to seek it and to seek to be as he is, to live righteously. That's what we need to do if we're going to receive this gift, this promise that's better than heaven.
Now, you need our booklet. It's a lot of information here, more than we can discuss here on the program today. So we hope you'll call in. Don't forget our website, beyondtoday.tv, because you need to understand God's true promise. It is much better than heaven. We'll have a final thought when we come back.
Is there really a heaven or a hell? Find out, would a loving God torture forever? What did Jesus say about heaven and hell? No human will burn forever. At death, what really happens to you? You have a future you don't even know about until you call 1-888-886-TODAY. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online at beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Heaven and Hell. What does the Bible really teach?
As surprising as it sounds, good people do not go to heaven. Beyond Today is a wonderful future, not playing harps in some passive, ethereal heaven, but at the resurrection we can live and reign with Christ on earth. That's the truth of your Bible. And so, God wants you to be a part of his wonderful plan. He gave his only son that you might have eternal life in the kingdom of God, and that's better than heaven. Don and Howard, thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Steve.
When you want to understand your future, remember this program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.